These next 6 p.m. services are all about healing. And there are so many layers to healing, it's unreal. We could talk about this for years. So, as a result, I thought to myself, Lord, what can I do? What angle do you want me to come at? Do you want me to go Benny Hinn and make this a healing service? He said, no, not today. One of the other leaders will do that. What I want you to do, I want you to encourage my people to know that they can go out and heal the sick. Amen. Right? So that's what I want to teach tonight. Don't think that the platform gives you power. And though in this church, this is a special church, God moves very differently in this place. Woo, hallelujah for that. That being said, he doesn't just move here. His desire is to move in you. Amen? Amen. Okay, so let's get this started. So the title of the message from the top of my memory is Releasing the Tap of Healing. And what I meant by that is for healing is something that is in each and every one of us to release. But just like a tap in the world that we live in, if it is tight, nothing can come out. Though nothing can come out, it doesn't mean that water's not in the pipes. Water's in the pipes. You just need to alleviate the tap, you need to release it in order for the water to flow. Understanding allows you to release what was already inside. If the Lord said that you have been given him, and whilst he's in you, there is living water, that means there is living water that is trying to burst out. And the question is, what's stopping it? The first thing I'm going to say before I start teaching is this. Take some notes. Let's go student mode, okay? Let's take notes tonight. I want to encourage you this. Don't make a doctrine out of your experience. So hard. It's so hard. As a pastor, I can tell you, it's very hard. I believe in divine healing, 100%. I've prayed for many healed. I've prayed for many not healed. I still believe. So don't say it doesn't happen because it didn't happen. Don't try to make a doctrine that makes sense to you. Well, how can I say this? Scripture, what we read, is found in a book. This is the world we live in. We live in a physical realm. The Bible is the Word of God. When we read the Word of God in this physical realm, I want you to know that the Word of God, its source is not in this realm. It came from outside of this realm. Very important. The reason why that's important is this. Though Scripture is in this realm, its Word comes from a God who ultimately was from outside of this realm. When we go into Scripture, the purpose of Scripture is to take us to the source. When you are, in short, Scripture, the Word of God, wants you to come into the realm of God's Spirit. When you operate from the realm of God's Spirit, then what Scripture says, you'll see a lot of it more come to pass. But don't try to keep Scripture. Don't try to look at the Word with eyes of physical sight. There has to be eyes of faith. This is so important. Scripture wants to release a power that is outside of this realm into this realm. That's just a side note. So, let's begin. First question. So what I'm going to do, we are going to kill sacred cows. We're going to kill them tonight. What is a sacred cow? A sacred cow, in many countries in Asia, there are cows, and the cows are holy. Right? These cows are holy, and they will go around, and they'll eat what they want. They'll stop traffic. They'll stop no matter what you're doing, the cow takes precedence. You can't touch that cow. It's a holy cow, according to the mindset of the people in that region. It doesn't matter how hungry you are. You could be starving as a human. If that cow walks past you, that's beef. Okay? It's beef. You can't touch the beef, even though you, the human, are starving. Crazy. Now, the reason why we want to kill these, if you kill them, you're killed in these countries. It's a problem. But the reason why I'm going to kill these sacred cows is this. Respectfully, that cultural belief and that system is wrong. There are truths in God's word that we have not put together correctly. And as a result, we believe wrong. And as a result of believing wrong, there are sacred cows in our minds that are blocking us from experiencing God's blessing. So if we kill them tonight, we may be able to eat. Amen. John 10:10, and it says, the thief cometh, not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The question is, what is God's will? God's will is to give you life, that you may have it more abundantly. God's will is for everyone to have a life from him that is greater than the life you live without him. Often, the issues, not often, all the time, every issue that we live in, that is affecting our lives, ultimately comes from sin. Not your sin per se, but the first sin of mankind. As a result, all of humanity has come under the kingdom of darkness. Whether you liked it or not, no matter how nice your mom and dad was, no matter how nice whoever brought you up, you were born a citizen of darkness. I'm sorry to tell you that. And as a result of this, the life that you had was never going to be a life that was worth living. And that is part of the reason why God wanted you to be born again, to have a new life. With that life, it is God's will to see you well. 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. What is God's will? For the works of the devil to be destroyed. That's 1 John 3:8. Now, I'm saying all of this because I want it to be clear. Sometimes we pray for people and we say, you know, we use our Father. Oh, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Lord, is it your will? Often when I hear people pray, I'm hearing people, they're still talking to God, asking, is this your will? We have to find out what God's will is. And according to this, 1 John 3:8, part of God's will is to destroy the works of the devil. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with them. God's will is that all of his children function with the anointing of the Holy Ghost that allows them to walk with the power to do good, heal everyone who's been oppressed by the devil. That's God's will for you. This is his will. Fourth scripture, 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Let me tell you this. Before you can be in health, you must be healed. It's God's desire. I'm just I can just see toast. I'm buttering you up. It's God's desire to see you healed. It's his will. Now, I need to be delicate. I'll put the pastor hat on for a second. There's people sitting in front of me who have experienced death of people very close. Death of people very close. Who loved God. So let me be clear is in what I'm not saying. This isn't about, God will only heal those who truly love him. No. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is this, and this is now prophetic to certain people in this room. I don't know what has happened to the people that we've lost due to sickness. But one thing I know, when we get to heaven and we found out what actually happened and why it didn't take place, all of us will say, if I knew, my bad, God. Because I know that conclusion, I don't know the detail as to why, but because I know that conclusion, I'm going to spare myself that and say, irrespective of me even losing loved ones, I still believe that God's will is for all to be healed. It's very hard, guys. It's very hard. But we can't allow our experiences to dictate scripture. So Pastor A, prove to me in scripture that it says this. I will. First of all, let's deal with the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God, what does it mean? The sovereignty of God is basically the supreme power or authority. It's the authority of a state to govern itself or another state. It's basically, no one can tell God to do anything, in short. And God will do what God will do. Sovereignty of God. Does believing in divine healing mean that God is not sovereign? No, not at all. In fact, believers walking, releasing the healing power of God is actually establishing the sovereignty of God. Why do I say that? This is why I say that. We as believers act as Jesus' ambassadors to stop the thief from accomplishing his goal, to kill, to steal, to destroy. You see, a police officer will enforce the law of the government to ensure that we do what the government says. If you come against that and the police catch you, you're detained. And what you tried to do will be stopped, or what you've done hopefully can be changed and recompensated. Now, it's very much the same in the kingdom of God. We as believers have the ability, listen, the Bible says that you have been given power over the power of the enemy. Now the word power, the first word power used in that particular verse, I believe it's Ephesians, is really the word authority. So really, and the second word power is really the word ability. So really it says, you have been given authority over the enemy's ability. I'll say it again. You've been given authority over the enemy's ability. You've been given authority over the enemy's ability. Now, the thing is, guys, you'll stumble into, we'll come back to the sovereignty of God, you'll stumble into what was known in the 90s as the name it, claim it form of Christianity. Let me clear that up, right? Let me clear that up. You cannot say, this is what I hear. I've got a very silly friend. He's a pastor. He does it as a joke, but I'll give you the example. He says, Andrew, when I eat these chocolates, by faith, it's vegetables. I look at him, I just look at this silly man. Principle here. You can't say something by faith to make it faith. Doesn't work like that. Just because you say, you can't say, okay, well, Jesus said that I am healed, so I am healed, and be healed. It doesn't work like that. Now, there is power in declaration, but the whole point of declaration ultimately is to get you actually to, this is worth writing down as well, it's actually to get you to a place of meditation. When's the last time we heard meditation in the church? And I'm not talking about Eastern European meditation. There's no ums, there's no ums, there's none of that. It's meditating on the word of God. It's looking at that word of God, meditating, chewing on that word until that word begins to illuminate and give you questions and thoughts. And you start to walk with these questions and thoughts. And you didn't know that these questions and thoughts were from God. And finally, you're in a place to hear, I am healed. In the realm of the spirit, let me ask a general question to everyone. If you're online, you can write an answer. In heaven, based on what you know of the Bible, is there sickness? Do people die in heaven? What else can I ask? Do you steal in heaven? What else can I ask? Is there high blood pressure in heaven? Is there arthritis in heaven? Has Jesus got knee pain in heaven? No. So from what we know of the Bible, none of these things that happen on earth are in heaven. In heaven, it is well. What we become ultimately in heaven is perfect entities. God speaks from that place. So according to you believing in his death and resurrection, he says, by the Spirit, you are perfect. You don't need healing, you've been healed. Remember, from the realm of God's spirit, where he dwells, he says this is true. The whole point of scripture, guys, especially when we're meditating on and studying healing in the Bible, the whole point of scripture isn't just to declare, because it won't work that way. You can't just name it and it happens. The whole point is you allow the word to guide you into the realm where it is true. By the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit gets you here. Study doesn't get you here. Declaring it 50 times doesn't get you here. What gets you here is surrendering to truth. You see, brothers and sisters, the Bible says, and they shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free. That word know is to experience. It's like the word of God touches you so much, you've experienced it. When you experience truth, the purpose of experiencing truth is to set you free from fear, from doubts, from lies, from everything that is not of God. So you are free to stand in the land of grace. In this place, grace. Not just unmerited favor, but God's ability. In this place, all the riches he has for you is real. Your purpose is to allow scripture to take you there. Your purpose is to allow teachings to get you there. Your purpose ultimately is to be here. And what's so interesting is here is in the name of Jesus. That's so deep you don't even... In the name of Jesus isn't a cherry on top of the prayer Sunday. In the name of Jesus is the realm of God's spirit. As a son of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, you stand in that realm of grace, where the reality of you being blessed with every spiritual blessing is yours. You walk in that place like the new Ark of the Covenant, carrying the presence of God and releasing the will of the kingdom. That's our call. But you can't get there if you don't know it. You won't get there if you have unbelief. Unbelief is interesting. Unbelief isn't what you think. Unbelief isn't a case of not believing. Unbelief isn't about not believing. Unbelief is believing the wrong thing. If you have unbelief, it's because you believe the wrong thing. Not just because you don't believe, you actually believe something else that is error. And as a result, that unbelief, because you believe wrong, is stopping you from receiving what God has for you. So we have to put a nail in the coffin and answer this question of, is it God's will for us to be healed, especially as believers? 100% yes. It is his will. Back to the sovereignty of God. So we're talking that the sovereignty of God is basically God does what he wants. But as believers, the whole point, we're ambassadors. We're like police. We enforce God's will. So when you lay hands on the sick, it is his will to see them healed. You're going to have to come to the conclusion of, okay, I've laid hands on 50 people. This is the 51st person. 50 people haven't been healed. The question the enemy's going to ask you is, does this really work? Are you sure? Don't give in to that temptation. There is nowhere it says in Scripture, God heals sometimes. The reality is, our experience is, sometimes we see healing. There's a difference. God hasn't said he heals sometimes. We have only seen healing sometimes. Make the word higher than your experience. Amen. Amen. Here's something really lovely. I want everyone to go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 2 to 3. This is very interesting. Matthew chapter 8, verse 2 to 3. I'm going to read it in a few translations. KJV says this. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. KJV. NIV. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man, saying, I am willing, be clean. Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. NKJV, let's go straight to verse 3. Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now I could go through other translations, but when you look at that, some people will say, okay, well, the KJV kind of alludes that he was willing for that moment. NIV, I'm willing, I'm willing to do this for you. But what's really interesting is the word willing in Greek is called ethelo. The Strong's number is G2309, just in case those people who study with the Strong's. Do you know what it really means, that word willing? I will, or I am willing, it actually means this: I am always willing. Wow. Wow. I am always willing. He's not just talking to the person that Matthew's writing down. God's so wonderful. He's talking to the reader as well. I am always willing. Are you sick right now? Are you asking God, God, is it your will to heal me? Do you know someone and you're thinking, is it God's will to heal them? The answer is this: I am always willing. This is important. Now, the evangelist, a strong evangelist, right? A strong evangelist will do the following. When they're outside evangelizing, they won't only share the gospel, right, of what Jesus came to do, who he was. He died on the cross. He raised from the dead. After 3 days, he's ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He done this in order for your sins, for you to be freed. You want to accept this free gift of eternal life? Yes, I do. An evangelist won't just share the gospel in words. They'll proclaim it in power as well. A good evangelist will always offer something else. And what they will offer is healing. A good one. We're all training. We're all getting better. Hallelujah. They'll release that. Why? Because the power of God is supposed to testify of the God of this message. They're healed. This isn't just wisdom of man. Far from it. This is the power of God and the word of God being released. I say all of this to say this. Salvation isn't just being born again and going to heaven. Part of salvation, the word sozo, is to be healed, to be delivered. A strong evangelist will do deliverance ministry as well. True, accurate. They'll do these things. Why? Because that is the salvation package. It's more than just the message. It's more than just a flyer. The best evangelist, his name is Jesus. And he done it with love as well. Let's keep going. I say all of that to say this. What evangelists know very well is that sin and sickness are two fruits from the same tree. A good evangelist will know that. And that's why they offer you the power of God, healing, because they know that through the cross of Jesus Christ, healing's been made available. Not just healing of your body, but justification of your spirit and redemption of your soul. This is the gospel. Very important. So sin and sickness are often grouped together in the Bible. You'll see it all over the place, especially in the Old Testament. Psalms 103, verse 2 to 6. I'm going to get to the good stuff. But take this, read this, study this yourself, be encouraged, because I speak really fast. And you're going to have to take notes, and you're going to have to allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to minister to you. Listen, side note, don't allow a good teacher to stop you from studying the Word. At best, a good teacher is pointing you to study the Word even more. All I can do is encourage you to believe in who you said you believed in already. Let's keep going. The bit I really want you to focus on is this, verse 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy disease. Iniquities. Iniquities isn't a word that churches talk about that much. An iniquity, essentially, is a wrong belief, essentially. It's more than a wrong belief. It's a wrong attitude. It's a wrong way of thinking. As a result of it being a wrong way of thinking, you do wrong. So as a result, you may in... Sorry, I laugh because I want to tell you something. Have you ever heard someone say you're just like your dad? Hey, my gosh. And you know what they're saying. Often that person is actually... This is very deep, but I want to say it's funny, but it's deep. That person is actually spotting out an iniquity that is generational. That's the behavior pattern that your dad does. And look at that there. Sometimes they're just being mean, but I'm just saying, you know, if you've got a spiritual parent, it's worth listening. Now, the reality is this. That iniquity that leads to wrongdoing, the Bible is saying that he's forgiven it. But it's also alluding to iniquity actually, sin actually is part of what produces disease in the body. Not all the time. But in scripture, sometimes when someone was delivered from a demon, they were healed at the same time. Which says that some illnesses are demonic. Some are not. Either way, life has to be released by the believer in order for that location of the person, spirit, soul, body, to be healed. If it's the body, if life, the Bible says, Jesus says, are you going to leave me as well? Peter says, where shall we go? Your words are spirit and life. When God speaks, or when a man or woman of God speaks, filled with the Spirit, their words have soaked in them life. If it is received by the hearer into their body is healed. If it is received into the emotions or the soul of the believer, their soul is delivered. If it is believed into their heart, their spirit is saved. We have been called to walk with abundant life so we can release it. That's why it's abundant. So we can constantly release it. Constantly release it. And as we release this life
This life is a sign that there is a greater kingdom at hand. And this kingdom, in this kingdom, the power of healing is in it. And he has called believers to release that life, which is a revelation of the kingdom to come.
I'll be honest with you. I want to raise the dead. I want to raise the dead. I want to raise the dead. I want to do crazy things. Everything I see Jesus do, I'm like a child. I'm like, I love it. I want to do it as well. The whole purpose of this message is to encourage you to realize that you don't have to be a pastor to do this. Do it. The idea is for your mind, if you're humble enough to accept this information, to be renewed by the Spirit of God that will release you to release healing. Verse 6, this is beautiful. The Lord executes, so we're still on Psalms 103. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. This is the most wonderful verse. Oh, this verse is wonderful. Why is it wonderful? You know that verse, give thanks at all times? I'll be honest with you. Open, Lord. So, I want to share with you a conversation I have with the Lord. I was angry. I said, God, how can I give thanks at all times? That makes no sense. There's issues in my life. Issues, capital I. I said, look at what's happening. And you want me to give thanks. How's that possible? This is what he said to me. Unbelievable. He said to me, you can give thanks even in the bad times, because the bad times are often perceived as bad because you're being oppressed. You may not have caught it yet. In your worst times, when the enemy's against you, if you give thanks, anytime you give thanks, it draws you closer to God. Right? In bad times, guess who you need? Right? God. So you have to give thanks. Right? So you're not giving thanks that, oh my days, Lord, I bless you. My body is dying of sickness. No, it's not that. It's not that. But it is this. Lord, I thank you. I am being oppressed, but I thank you because what Jesus has done has made you accessible to me. And because you're accessible to me, because I'm one with you, because Psalms 103 verse 6 says, judgment for all, the Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Basically means this. When I go home to Daddy God and I say, Daddy, this is what's affecting me. Daddy will say, it's okay, son. I've got this for you. I have this spiritual blessing for you. This is what he's trying to say to everyone. But he can't give it to you if you're not home. If you're not abiding. If you're going to allow your situation to allow you to walk away from him, then guess what? Situation's Lord. But if you say, you know what? I want to live by faith and not by sight. This is affecting me, but I have a God who does care. I'm not going to cry and try to spiritually manipulate God. I am going to give thanks. I'm going to praise. And I'm going to allow his blessings to take over my life. Is it God's will to heal? Yes, it is. Acts 10, verse 38. Acts 10, verse 38. Just write it down. I'll read it out for you. NKJV. KJV. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Listen to the last bit. Went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. If you've ever thought, God, why are you doing this to me? Read Acts 10:38. It's not God, it's the devil. But it is God who is for those who are being oppressed by him. Amen? Praise God. One cow just dropped. When Jesus purchased our redemption, our spiritual redemption, he also purchased our healing. Because the sickness and disease were a result of sin. By providing salvation from sin, he provided healing from sickness. This is what I'm trying to say. What am I alluding to? I'm alluding to this. Healing is part of the atonement. The reason why God came is also to bring you healing, not just then in the future to come, but now. Let's round it up. Let's go from here. Matthew 8, 16. I'm going to read from verse 17. Verse 16 is must. When the evening was come, they brought unto him, Jesus, many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken to by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. What is this verse connected to? Isaiah 53. I told you today was a bit of a Bible study. Someone's on their third page. Isaiah 53, verse 4 to 5. Surely, this is so important. Surely he have borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. You know that word griefs in Isaiah 53, verse 4? It's actually the word sickness. Let's reread it. Surely he have borne our sickness and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Old Testament. Let me break that down for some people. It's saying, it's a prophecy. There is going to be someone whose stripes is going to bring us healing. We're going to be healed because of these stripes. Look at this. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. This is New Testament. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness by those by whose stripes ye were healed. So Isaiah was looking to the future and said, there's going to be, God's going to send us someone, and by his stripes, we're going to be healed. Peter, post-resurrection, is looking back and saying, Isaiah, my guy, don't worry. He's come. His name was Jesus. He was God in the flesh. And by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we have been healed. So in the spirit realm, you are healed. The biggest challenge is bringing that from the spirit realm into the natural. That's the challenge. It's not that God's a liar. It's not that God doesn't care. He cares. He's not a liar. The biggest challenge is taking that spiritual truth, not just declaring it, not just knowing it, not just studying it, but walking in the reality of which it was written in the first place. When I was young, I had crushes on a particular girl. Crushes. I gave it away, right? Crushes. We've all done it before. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. And I'll be walking all the way home. People will just be looking at this man. What's this man doing? And I get to, I'm coming to the last ones, and I'm already, I'm saying, there's only four left. I'm on, she loves me. And what's so annoying is the last one, she loves me not. I said, yay! And all of a sudden, my truth is based on a current experience of a petal. Don't allow your experience to define what truth is to you. When you play this game with God, it runs differently. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. I won't stop until you start clapping. He loves me. He loves me. I want to welcome back the worship team. You see, brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to say is this. He loves you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says that faith works through love. You have to establish in your heart, John 3:16. Don't just quote it like my kids in the children's ministry. Know it. Know it in your heart. Know that because God so loved the world, he sent his son. His son isn't some distant figure. His son now lives in me through the power and agency of the Holy Spirit. So now I am no longer what I was. I am now a new creation. I'm a little Christ-like one. Loved by the Father. Commissioned by the Father to bring healing, to bring deliverance, to lay hands on the sick, to see them healed, to share the gospel, to disciple, to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the commission, to walk in love. Don't allow religion, don't allow experience to stop you from revealing who God's called you to be. For the rest of the days in 2024, and I encourage you on the way home, study this for sure. But test this out. Test this out. 90% of healings in the New Testament was outside of the temple. There's a hint. So let's go outside. Let's go outside, guys. You're young, let's go outside. You're old, let's go outside. Let's lay hands on the sick. Let's see them healed. Why? Because it's God's will. Brothers and sisters, I present to you the healing power of God is real. You have been qualified by the blood of Jesus to lay hands on the sick and see them healed. Share that gospel. Walk in love. Don't allow bad experiences to stop you from doing this. Face fear in the face by faith. And start seeing the God who was always in you start affecting the world that you're in. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.